It's good to see everybody here this morning. Justin, it's good to see you again. Ken Angie's worried that my hands are so sweaty I'll get electrocuted with this. Am I safe? I told her I thought it would be okay. I want to talk to you this morning about God's boundaries. And I can't think of a better place to start than Matthew 5:17, where Jesus says, "Don't think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets, but I've come to fulfill them." By the time that Jesus started his ministry, the law had been around long enough to be twisted, contorted, misrepresented. And then you had the religious leaders who used it to their advantage to glorify them. And by this time, it was just a bunch of rules that had been changed around so much that no one was able to abide by them. And it was just really confusing. But Jesus said, "I'm not here to tell you not to worry about this. I'm here to get it all straightened out for you." Angie and I married in 1986. And after we married, we moved into a little farmhouse out in the country owned by Paul and Peggy Duke. And it was a blessing to live there. It was a really pretty little house out in the country. And they gave us a good deal on the rent because they knew we were newlyweds and poor, and they knew our family. So being a city boy, it took me a little while to get used to the antenna. And I was used to cable, and we got 2, 5, and sometimes a Chattanooga station, I think, just part-time. And I worked nights, and I would come in from work like at 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning, and she'd be in bed, and after a shower, I thought, well, I'll watch a little TV. And the only thing you could watch was 60 minutes, or excuse me, CNN around the world in 30 minutes or something like that. But you could watch it all night long. It would come on, and then start it over. So you had time to, by 3 o'clock in the morning, you had a pretty good idea of what was going around. So we'd been married a couple years, and we moved back to the town. We bought a house in Glenburg, and we had cable. And my young wife, quickly realized how sorry I could be during basketball season. I liked to watch basketball, and it took a little while to learn how to put that in check, but she helped me with it. And so about 4 years later, Brianna was born. And my focus was on her, and we enjoyed our baby, and started watching Barney. And there wasn't much time for basketball. And after Barney, we got to know the Disney princesses pretty good. That helped me keep it in check. And then later on, about another 6 years, Garrett's born. Now, Garrett didn't take to Barney too much. And he wasn't too much on the Disney princesses. But as time went by, I think Angie quickly learned that she had given birth to someone much worse than I. Garrett's idea of watching some sports is he'll have the NFL game on in the living room, and in the bedroom he'll have a college game on, and then he'll have the computer set up checking his fantasy scores. And Angie will walk in and like, what's going on? I mean, I said, I know. I thought we were going to watch Home and Garden Network, but it doesn't look like that's going to work out at all. So now, when I sit down and watch a little football or something, I'm spending quality time with my boy. Works out pretty good. One day, while spending some quality time with my boy, I think it was the highlights. We're watching the highlights, and there's this football. This quarterback throws this pass to a wide receiver, and he's pretty good ways from the end zone. Clock's running down. It's their last chance of scoring, and they're behind. He makes a couple of nice moves and spins around, and he cuts to the outside down the sideline and gets in the end zone. Everybody is going crazy. The coach is happy. The fans are screaming, but the referee's blowing his whistle and doing like this. And it turns out that as he was running down the sideline, his foot got out of bounds. And so all that running for 40, 45 yards away from all those defenders was for nothing. And the coaches were disappointed and the fans were disappointed, and they ended up losing the game. And another time while spending quality time with my son, we were watching basketball. And it's the same scenario. This team is behind by 2 points, and the clock is running down again. And this point guard steals the ball from the other guys, and he makes a nice move, runs down the sideline, and heaves up a three-pointer at the end of the game, and it goes in, and one referee, and they're going, yeah, three-pointer, and the crowd is going crazy, but there's another referee, and he's in the background saying, no, stepped out of bounds right here, ball goes to the other team, and time expires, and they lose the game. Another place where there's out of bounds is, most of you know that I work at Bridgestone, and one of the added duties I have is safety star point. And as safety star point, I do a lot of audits on the floor to make sure that everything is the way it should be. Companies like Bridgestone spend millions of dollars a year to keep their employees safe, whether it be doctor bills or taking care of families. But they would rather do it on the front end. And that means when you walk into a manufacturing facility, I don't know how many of you have done that, there are warning signs posted everywhere. There are painted lines all over the floor. I think that's the one thing, if you hadn't been into a manufacturing facility before, the first thing that would catch your eye is all the lines on the floor. There's yellow lines everywhere to say, hey, don't go over this area, you can get hurt. There are guards on machines painted yellow, warning signs. And one of the things that you have to do is just be aware of the areas that could get you hurt. You have this protective equipment, where it be safety glasses, steel toes. Everything there is to keep you safe. But yet, one of the things I do is a safety star point in the mornings. I go over, I remind folks what they need to do that day to stay safe and not get complacent. And one of the things that I do is I go over injuries. Sometimes they're in our facility, and sometimes they're in another facility. And they're as minor as cuts, falls, bruises, but they're also, a lot of times, we go over amputations, broken bones, and fatalities. And you would think, okay, these are probably new people, but they're not. They're 15, 20, and 30-year-old employees that have been here that long. And it's the ones who've been around that get complacent, and they get injured. And they think, you know what, I've done this before. I'm not going to get hurt. I'm not going to get hit by this fork truck. I'm not going to get my hand caught in this machine. And they reach in one more time, and a lot of times that's the last time. And it's very unfortunate, and we hate to go over those. We live out on the Woodbury Highway. It's been renamed Orange Barrel Road, but and I've had to learn the hard way that you can only drive 40 miles per hour whether there's somebody out there working or not. And Brianna laughs at me, but she's had one too. They've repaved, you know, that's another area. Our roads, there are white lines, there are yellow lines, there are dotted lines, there are solid lines, and there are warning signs everywhere, and there's a lot to keep up with. And when you're talking on your cell phone, you get distracted. Whether you're eating a sandwich, it's easy to take your eyes off of what you're doing. But I've noticed now that this new fancy road they've got out by our house, that when you get too close to the shoulder, which is bad for me because I go over there a lot. And then they go, hey, what are you doing? It's okay. But as bad a driver as I am, and they do get on me a lot, you know, guess whose vehicle they were in this morning when I got out to the car? Mine. A lot of you have sent your children off to college, and we've just done that recently, and a lot of you will be doing it soon. And about a month before Brianna left the house, we decided to have a series of talks with her. I think there was 5 groups. We talked about safety. Hey, stay on the campus at night. Try not to get off campus. We talked about roommate courtesy. If you're going to use something to your roommates, please ask first. You know, you want to have a good relationship with your roommate. We talked about money. you know, watching your money. You can't have Starbucks three times a day. We talked about, help me out here, let's see. Time management. We talked about, boys. We talked about boys a lot. Russ said boys. We talked about time management, but we did all these things not to handcuff Brianna, but I want what's best for her. I'm her father. There's boundaries I want her to stay in because I love her and she's my child. The invisible fence. This is kind of funny. Since Brianna left, we feel like we had a void, so Garrett wanted to get a dog. He did start asking about a dog when she moved out. Well, we had some dogs, and I quickly learned how sorry a fence builder that I am. I couldn't keep a coyote out of our yard, and I couldn't keep a dog in, so I took the fence down. And we had one dog left, and we gave him to Angie's dad, who lives out in Beach Grove, where he'd have a lot of room to roam because of the road out there on Woodbury Highway. But as I was thinking about getting him a dog, we talked, you know what, Garrett, he'll get run over on the highway. So, and I'm not building another fence because that didn't work out. So I started looking into underground or invisible fences, which had a link to YouTube. You could watch the results of this. And if you've watched these invisible fences of these dogs on YouTube, it's pretty entertaining. I didn't mean to be cruel, but, you know, it's funny. The young dogs will just run up there and just get this blast, and they'll just stiffen up, turn around and run the other way with their tail tucked between their legs. Now, the older dogs will kind of go up to it a little bit slower, and they'll feel that, and their hair start raising up, and they'll turn around and go back. But some of them learned the hard way, and it was pretty funny. I think everybody here can attest to the fact that as a child, you tested your parents' boundaries. You knew how far you could go, but if you were like me, a delinquent, you'd always push it a little bit further. And I don't know what your parents' choice of weapon was, but my mom's was a switch. And the only kind of trees we had in our yard were willows. So that thing would wrap around my leg. It felt like twice. And when she pulled it back, I thought my skin was coming with it. And the worst part about it was she'd say, "All right, go pick me a switch." And I was like, "Are you serious? You want me to go get something for you to whoop me with?" So what I did was, at first, I would pick out the deadest limb that I thought would break, and I'd bring it back to her. And she'd hit me with that once or twice and only have a nub left, and she'd look at me, and she would whoop me all the way back to the willow tree and start over. So I didn't do that. You know, I knew where my parents' boundaries were. They didn't have a fence or any barrels or any signs or lines, but I knew where to stop, where to keep from getting the whipping. When I was given the opportunity to speak today, I wanted to speak about boundaries. That had been on my heart for a while. And that quickly led me to Jude 20 through 25, and I'll read that. "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. Show mercy to those mixed with fear and hating even the clothing stained by corrupt flesh." And 24 says, "To him is able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious presence without falling in great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be the glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen." Jude 20 says, God's love is there to restrain us. Romans 8:26, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Do we not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Wherever we go, we are not alone. Whenever we pray, the Holy Spirit prays with us." There's a lot of things that we can't do on our own. but we have Jesus there to do it with us. I like to, Angie reads a lot of books. I read, but she really reads. And every once in a while, she'll come across something that she will insist on me reading. And about 10 years ago, she had this book, Little House on the Freeway. I don't know if you are familiar with it, but it had lots of little stories. And there's a story in here that I think really goes along with what we're talking about this morning. I'd like to read it. It's a little bit lengthy. Bear with me. As the Vietnam War escalated, Mike knew that his chance of being drafted was high. With that fact staring him in the face, he decided to enlist, and it was a good thing that he did, because 2 days later, he received his draft notice. At least he told himself, I'm going to get a preference of what branch of the military I'm going into. Mike chose the artillery because he figured that if he did this, he would have to go to Nam, but he would be behind the lines of lobbing shells on long distance at the enemy. What he didn't know that his choice would put him right in some of the heaviest and most fierce fighting of the war. Following his training, he received his orders to go overseas with a unit assigned to guard the perimeter of the Da Nang Air Force Base. On the long flight to Vietnam, they were congratulating themselves on their good fortune of being stationed so far from the front lines. And while this proved to be true for so many of the men, the first thing Mike found waiting for him in the airfield was a packet with special orders. He was to immediately join a convoy which took a piece of artillery and 4 men over the treacherous territory to a Green Beret camp, right on the very edge of no man's land. The special forces stationed at this remote Air Force base were weapons experts, skilled search and destroy mission, and hand-to-hand combat folks. Mike and his gun crew found themselves the only regular Army soldiers in the middle of this elite fighting corps. For nearly 4 months, Mike learned of the life-saving nature of boundaries as two 8-foot barbed wire fences provided his greatest sense of protection. For almost 100 yards outside the outermost fence, all the grass and trees had been cleared, buried landmines and other anti-personnel ordnance hidden in this open area provided further protection for those who were within this compound. There were trails throughout the mines that the Green Berets used to come in and out from patrol. One afternoon, a man under Mike's command ventured gingerly across those trails to pick some fruit in the nearby jungle. Besides the occasional mortar shell falling near the perimeter, there had been no direct enemy attack since they had taken up their station. In fact, it had been over a week since his gun battery had been called to provide support for the ones on patrol. Even then, it was just for a unit near the outer limits of their range. "Why can't we go outside the fence for a while?" one of his gunners asked him. "The Berets do it all the time, loading their gear and their cannon." The rest of the crew watched as the man headed out of the compound toward the fresh fruit that had tempted them since they arrived. Mike's friend had nearly reached the edge of the forest when they saw him suddenly stop and take a step back. He turned suddenly and began running back toward the fence. But out of the jungle came a sickening sound of automatic rifle fire. The young man's body was shot to pieces before it ever hit the ground. In just moments, the quiet that had lasted for weeks was shattered by the scream of incoming mortar rounds as the North Vietnam troops poured out of the jungle like angry fire ants. They followed the same path that Mike's friend had taken through the minefield. For 3 hours, the fighting was intense and often hand-to-hand. At one point, Mike ordered the cannon to be cranked down level, firing point-blank into the incoming troops. Somehow, the men held the position. Mike and many others sustained severe wounds, and others hadn't been so fortunate. God's boundaries keep us safe. They're there to protect us, and they're there to remind us of how unsafe it can be. You know, it'd be nice that every time we got too close to the fence that we'd feel our tire go off the shoulder of the road and feel that to wake us up and get us back into the lines. Or It might even be nice if we were like the dog that got too close to the fence and got the gentle jolt. But we don't. We don't get that. That doesn't happen. But what we do get is a feeling of uneasiness when we as believers venture too close to a perimeter. As we get our foot close to the out-of-bounds line, we get that feeling of absence from God. I know I do, and I experience it often. But He's there, and He pulls us back in. Exploring God's boundaries. Verse 23 says, snatch others from the fire and show them mercy. Mark 16:15, He said, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. And then Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. You know, it's to me the word go, and we highlighted this, says don't sit there in your comfort zone and wait on them to come to you. We've got to get out of our comfort zone and reach out to the and reach out into the community. Garrett and I, he had a sports physical that he had to take. And this has been a couple months ago. And we were sitting there in the office, or in the lobby. We had bought a paper and we were sitting there. Guess who had the sports page? It wasn't me. And as we sat there and waited, a girl came in. And I didn't pay much attention at first, but she was really laboring to get her kids up there and get signed in and get them all sat back down. And I glanced up for a moment, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but you can see anguish on people's face sometimes. You can see the hurt in people's eyes sometimes. It's that obvious. And I thought to myself, I wonder what's troubling this girl. You know, you could tell that she had her hands full. She may have been a single mom of all these kids, and they were different ages, and trying to take care of them. And I thought to myself, I need to say something to her. You know, I need to reach out to this girl because she's hurting, and maybe Lord put something in my mouth that would help her. And I hesitated for a minute, and I spoke to Garrett for a few minutes, and then we got called back. And we came out, she was gone. It was a missed opportunity. And I thought to myself, you know, I hate that because it could have helped her. And if we continue to deny the opportunities that God gives us, we won't see them anymore. We won't notice them. So that haunts me even now. Had a friend that I worked with. His name was Kevin Clark. And he and his wife, Shannon, were good Christian people. He worked at Bridgestone, but he no longer does. And he told me a funny story one time. He had this uncle who was a good Christian man, lived by himself, was an older guy in his 50s at that time. And he was driving along one night, and I'm 4 years from 50. He wasn't older. He wasn't older. He was middle-aged, prime of his life. He was driving around, and one night, I don't know if it was after church or what, but he was on this dark country road, and these four figures had their thumbs out. And he said, I don't know what made me do it, but I pulled over to let them in. There were four younger boys in their 20s or maybe teenagers. He said, I picked them up. Two jumped in the back of the truck and two in the cab with me. And we were there, three in the cab and two in the back with the window open so they could speak to each other. And he said, man, I felt like I needed to say something to them. I needed to ask them if they were saved, invite them to church or something. And he drove along there for a few more miles, and he was trying to build up the courage to do this. And he was about to do it when the guy on the other side by the door just reached over and looked over and said, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? And it startled him. And then a head comes in from the back and says, yeah, if you died today, where would you go? And he laughed at himself for hesitating, for being afraid. You know, here, his heart was prompted. He was told to go, and he knew that. He picked these kids up, and he hesitated. He was afraid to reach out to them. He was afraid of rejection. He was afraid of the unknown. But these young guys had enough fire and spirit in them that they wanted to make sure that he knew God as their his personal Savior. But Jude 23 reminds us, as you do this, be focused on God. When you go to the unchurched, to the unbelievers, you are to pull them out with you. You are not to join them in the fire. And it's worth mentioning that Jude put that in there. Another part of exploring God's boundaries is showing compassion and making a difference. James 1:27, religion that our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans, the widows, the distressed, and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Defend the cause of the weak, the fatherless, maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed. Proverbs 28:27 says, he who gives to the poor will lack nothing, but who closes his eyes to them receives many curses. I think it was Joel, it was one of the core group leaders in there in the building out back, said that a week or so ago there was someone here, a lady I think it was, that works with at-risk families. And the question was asked, are there kids in Coffee County who go to bed hungry? And she was, oh yes, emphatically yes. There are kids in Coffee County who go to bed hungry. And that, you know, we probably knew that in the back of our minds, but we don't think about the kids that our children play with at recess are going to bed hungry. The kids that we see out in town that our children interact with in baseball or whatever. There may be even visitors that have came through here and their children gone to bed hungry. And, you know, we have to, it just makes me think, you know, we are called to go, but we are also called to do. You know, you ask, if we don't go, if we don't do, who will? As Christians, we are ordered to do this right here. But do we? You know, we get comfortable in our comfort zone, as we said, and we wait on opportunities, but we need to go and we need to do. And that's not always, you don't always get that in the church. You have to step outside your comfort zone. It doesn't happen Sunday night or Wednesday. It happens in between. And I think that Jude is telling us that we need to remember that. We have a beautiful promise right here. I'm just putting them all up here at the same time. The king will reply, I was hungry. Well, Jesus said, the king said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty, you clothed me. I needed a place to stay, you gave me a place to stay. I needed clothes, you gave me clothes. I was sick, you saw to me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me. And they said, Master, when did we do that? And Jesus says right here, I tell you the truth, you do the least of my brothers, you do for me. I want to close with Jude 25, and this is another version of it. Because of God's great love through Jesus Christ, he's able to keep us from falling away. Because of his saving grace, we will stand sinless, blameless, and perfect in his glorious presence with mighty shouts of everlasting joy. Amen. It's definitely a long game. You're going to get beat up. People are going to try to drag you out of bounds. You have your other players that you have to look after. You have to encourage them. You have to keep your feet in bounds. And while doing this, you probably won't get a pat on the back. In fact, most times you won't. But I think it's important to remember, the good referee sees everything. He sees your feet. He sees you're encouraging your teammates. If you have struggled with boundaries, if you find yourself closer and closer to being out of bounds, or maybe you're new at this game, and you're wanting to learn more about how to keep yourself in bounds, I hope that you'll come forward and let your brothers and sisters pray with you and encourage you as we stand and sing.